Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I really believe that if we listened to each other, that we would garner more connection just with the simple act of having somebody listen, actively listen to what we're saying.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Radically Loved Radio. I wanted to create a place where people can go to get inspired, get motivated, or find some clarity and get tools to create a radically loved life. I will do my best to provide information on a variety of subjects, including yoga, holistic health, life coaching, spirituality, meditation, and overall mindful living. Each episode will bring you some of the world's best spiritual leaders, entrepreneurs, yoga teachers, coaches, along with some of my closest friends, and we will talk about their life experiences and journeys to create something more out of their lives and how they continue to grow to make that happen. Thanks for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to
Wisdom Wednesday.
You know, every time we say that, or what, I guess when we do it in unison, the visual that I get in my mind is of us being like two little old ladies, like at a little cafe, you know, like
just
at a cafe, just reading books, doing something very sophisticated like that.
That sounds like us. I can see us doing that in 30 years.
40 years. Yeah.
40 years.
We're going to live long. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
I know. I'm like, part of me has like some concerns about this.
Concerns about what?
Living so long. I have this like crazy matriarchal lineage that, that lives a long time.
Same. Wow. From both sides. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
It is. But I don't know. I'm not sure if you feel like this or if this comes across your mind. I feel like because I've chosen not to have children, I have some feelings about that. That like maybe a little bit nervous about aging and what does that look like? Do you know what I mean?
Oh my goodness. You are speaking my language. Like seriously, as I was saying that, sorry guys, I'm adjusting. I got a new microphone, so I apologize. We're still trying to figure out. I know you guys can hear my birds, and that's great. But yes, Tessa, I can totally relate to this. You know, one of the things that I always told myself, one of the reasons why I wanted to have kids, truth be told, is because I wanted to have somebody to take care of me when I got
Right. I mean, like historically, culturally, that's what happens. Although I would say in this current generation, I'd say my parents' generation, that is not what I see happening in my experience.
Oh, wow.
So that like in and of itself kind of alarms me. It's not what I expected. It's not what I wanted for my grandma.
Yeah.
My parents made the decision to put her in a home, which just broke my heart. And I understand the reasons for it, but I guess where I go with that is, you know, even if you do have children, I say to myself, even if you do have children, there's no guarantee that they're going to take care of you and not put you in a home.
Yeah. That's exactly what Tori says. Every time I would say, who's going to take care of us? Like we're getting older. And if we don't have kids now, like who is going to care for us? And he would say the exact same thing. And so
It depends. I used to think, you know, in a lot of Hispanic cultures, you live with your family. I mean, my grandma lives with my aunt. Like, mm-hmm. my grandmother's always been either living with us, or she was living with my aunt, or mm-hmm. my uncle. She basically raised all of the grandkids, and now she's, you know, getting closer to 90 years old, and she is living with my aunt. My aunt's her full-time caretaker, and it's a lot of work. I mean, it's my aunt's full-time job. I mean, she still works, but fortunately my uncle's there as well. And my dad goes up there like every 2 months to stay there, and he stays for like a month at a time mm-hmm. to help, because it is a lot of work, and I understand that. But at the same time, you know, I feel, I don't know, putting somebody, it's so weird. Like, I wouldn't put, Mom, I'm really sorry that I'm about to say this. I know that you listen to the podcast. I wouldn't put my grandma in a home, but I would put my mom and my dad in a home. Like, I would totally be fine with it. But if you think about it, that's where the kid dynamic might change, and your mm-hmm. child might say, oh no, like, don't put grandma in a home. Like, mm-hmm. kind of like how you are doing, right? So yeah. I just don't know. I also feel like that's not a really great excuse to have a child, because you,
right.
you know, yeah. there's so many other things that come along mm-hmm. with that. And we've spoken about this topic before, and I definitely want to be a parent. That I know. I know now that my path has not been linear, and for many it's not. Even knowing that, I still have a desire for a family, but I feel that the older I get, the desire becomes less, you know? And I don't know if that's God's way of sort of creating a little band-aid for my heart and my desire so that I don't mm-hmm. feel as bad. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. I've always been a big fan of, if it's something that is designed for my life, then it will happen. However it comes, we're totally open, mm-hmm. whether it be adoption or we decide to do, you know, IVF or any of those things. It's something mm-hmm. that it'll just lend itself to happening, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And if it doesn't, then the desire will diminish. You know, mm-hmm. and then it'll go away. And I'm okay with that too. I mean, really right now, it's that thing, right? When you don't have kids, you're like, I can't imagine what it would be like
with
kids right now. Like, I just cannot imagine. And people that have kids probably think the opposite. I don't know what I would do without my children.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Tomato, tomato. It is.
It is. Yeah. The grass is always kind of greener, like, in, you know, that saying, the grass is always greener, but it's always like, well, what if I would have had, Jorge and I talk about this all the time, and we always joke about, well, that little kid would have been a really hairy hellion. We both are very hairy people. I'm turning red, if you can see me. Jorge has a lot of hair. So do I. We were both very rebellious. So maybe that's part of the reason why we chose not to have children.
There's that fear, like, we're not going to let God get, you know, even out the score sheet on us. You know, it's really, I want to go back to what you said about your grandmother. I mean, I know we've talked about this, and if you're comfortable talking about it here, you know, absolutely. I know that it's something that really tugs at your heart. And I'm curious, you know, I wonder if there's anybody out there listening that's going through the same thing or has gone through the same thing. Like, what is it about the situation that you wish you could change?
Oh, yeah, that's such a good question. I'd welcome listeners' comments on this too. For me personally, I guess it came as a shock to me when my parents told me that was the decision they were making. I had always thought we were going to take care of each other as a family. And I had always thought in my head, that's just part of the cycle of life. My parents raised me. They took care of me when I was helpless. Same thing with my grandma, with her children. So that's what we do for each other. Right. Right. So I was really surprised when I found out, no, that's not what my parents chose to do. And there was a big, there was a chasm or a wedge that kind of grew between my mom and I, because it's, this is my maternal grandma. So it's taken me some time to heal that with her and to try to understand where she was coming from with that decision. And I, like I said, like, if I can zoom out, I can understand, yes, there are many reasons why, a home for her was the better choice. It is a lot of work. It's a huge commitment. It's a full-time job. It's, that's tough, right? And her relationship with her mother wasn't as close. And my relationship with my grandma was, yeah. Right? There's that layer of removal when the grandma gets to be the grandma, which is, yes. Like they spoil the children. There's that connection. There's the love that's different than the love of a parent. Yeah. You know, so, and I hear you talk about your abuelita all the time. And I feel, yes. That same kind of like,
yes.
I want to protect my grandma. I want my grandma to be loved and held, and you know, I want her to be with her family when she passes. That's, yeah. What I really wanted. Wow. So it's tough. It's a tough situation.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for being open and for sharing. Mm-hmm. I know it's a topic that really is a prominent feature in your life. We've talked about it at length before. Actually, you know what? I wanted to just, for the people that are listening, Tessa actually did a teacher training with me, one teacher training, and then many, many trainings and retreats and workshops.
All the trainings.
And the podcast after is how she ended up here with us. And yeah. I just love having conversations with her. Going back to what you said about my abuelita, who I love so much, she raised my sister and I. She mm-hmm. was the one that did... She was there. My mom worked. Both my parents worked full time. And so my grandma was left to raise us, take us to school, feed us, clean the house, do everything. And so for me, like that's who I yearn for whenever I don't feel well. Even when when I had COVID, you know, you have those moments where you just want your mom. And I did want my mom, and my mom was so worried. And that was the other thing. Like, I didn't want my mom to worry. I mean, there's nothing more like wanting your mom when you're sick. It just, it doesn't matter. I shouldn't say that across the board. I know people that wouldn't yearn for their mother, but I did. And my mom and I have had a really tumultuous journey together, and we are in a really great place now. But I was really wanting my grandma. I wanted my grandma to take care of me. I mean, you revert back to those moments where you have those deep connections to the matriarch or mother, what mother means to you, what mothering means to you. And one of the things that I found in going to therapy and working through this journey of becoming a parent and not being able to get pregnant and all of these things was, what is your definition of mother? And what does mothering mean to you? And how do you mother yourself?
Yeah. The process of reparenting, I think it's so important as we come into adulthood. It's kind of like a passing of the baton. There is this call to learn to mother yourself, right? My mom, I think I know for her, we have many conversations about this. She feels like she did her job and now she wants a friendship with me. And so even though I still want my mother when I feel sick, right. It's that idea of motherhood. What does that mean? What does mothering yourself mean? And what does, you know, topic last week, self-care mean when you're feeling sick?
Yeah.
So how do we do that? How do we begin to self-mother? To me, that means it's very much a self-care process. It's very much a way that I speak to myself. It's a very much a way that I say, I love you unconditionally. I love you no matter what. You can make mistakes. You can like fuck up big time,
yeah.
But I'm always going to love you.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to support your mistakes. I'm going to be there and help you pick yourself up when you fall down and support your decision to try again. So to me, that's what mothering means. It's that, yes. Very like unconditional love. What about that. You?
Yeah, same. Yeah. I would say I'm going to piggyback off of your answer. I'm going to echo what you said, but I love the idea of feeling held and feeling safe. That's always mm-hmm. been such a big desire for me throughout my life, is the idea or the feeling of being safe. And that's when I think about mothering or having a mother, it's that, you know, lioness, mm-hmm. mama bear type of aggressive yet loving, protective, mm-hmm. overbearing energy that is all encompassing mm-hmm. in the most loving way. And I'm like, with boundaries. Yeah. Love the boundaries. But I think about that in terms of, you know, we're talking about a couple weeks ago, anger, when we were having that conversation, and when I brought up the mama bear, when she smacks the cub mm-hmm. in that fit, it's always either to protect the cub or to teach it a lesson, to mm-hmm. teach it boundaries, right? So there's this job that we have as mothers, right? Mm-hmm. And as mothers to ourselves, that we need to perpetually revisit constantly whenever we do need to hear those things that you said, you know, to feel that love, to feel that care. But sometimes we do need it from the other. We do need to be held. And I feel that for the people out there that don't have their mother or don't have a relationship or their mom has passed, we utilize community for that. That's why mm-hmm. we have each other. We create sangha. We create little tribes. We do this in a way. I mean, if you think about it, in tribal communities, there are many mothers. Mm-hmm. There's aunts. There's, you know, elders. There's many people around waiting to fill that chasm with mm-hmm. love. Mm-hmm. And I feel that the more we tune into that, the more we can be able to feel the safety and navigate our lives. Especially right now, this the topic of mothering coming up. We definitely do need more of this feminine energy in our world, mm-hmm. in our lives, coming from that place of compassion and kindness. I mean, think about it. If you are mothering yourself, are you going to be compelled to go on social media and send a hateful text to somebody or mm-hmm. A angry comment or send a all caps email? I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, I'm just proposing, I'm posing a thought that mm-hmm. maybe if we were able to mother ourselves more, that we would maybe get to a place of recognition.
Mm. Right? Yeah. I mean, hopefully. That sounds really
That's
nice.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
That's the hope. And really, depending on the day, sometimes I'm very hopeful and other times yeah. I'm very pessimistic. So it really just depends on how much tea I've had that day.
Yeah. Tea, for me, it depends on the amount of sleep and the quality of sleep. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I feel that.
This might be TMI. I had a running blister because I just went for it would be my second run, and it just burst open. I know. Ooh. That's disgusting, but anyway.
Ouch.
I know.
But also a relief.
Yeah.
Usually it feels like, oh, nice. Okay, better.
Yeah, no, that's, oof. That is going to have to get cleaned up. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient, so anyone who struggles with life's challenges can get help anytime, anywhere. BetterHelp offers access to licensed, trained, experienced, and accredited psychologists, marriage and family therapists, clinical and social workers, and board-licensed professional counselors.
You can pay a low flat fee for unlimited counseling with your counselor. Counseling doesn't have to be expensive. There have been thousands of people who have benefited from online therapy, myself included. With BetterHelp, you can switch counselors at any point if you don't feel like you're getting enough benefit. And you can do it at your own time, at your own pace. You can communicate with therapists as often as you want and whenever you feel it's needed. Help is always available at the time and place that you need. So if you're ready, head over to betterhelp.com/loved. For a limited time, they're offering all of our Radically Loved listeners 10% off of your first month. You could also use the discount code LOVED and it'll automatically be applied. Head over to betterhelp.com/loved. That's LOVED. Or you can simply head over to the info button of this podcast and go to the link directly. A special thank you to BetterHelp for supporting us and our community. This episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment all in one place. At Audible, you can find the largest selection of audiobooks ranging from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, languages, business, motivation. They also have original entertainment from top celebrity creators and thousands of popular and binge-worthy podcasts. My latest Audible binge is We Were Never There by Andrea Bartz. It's also one of Reese's book club picks. And for those of you that know me, you will not be surprised that it is a mystery thriller full of suspense. This book is such an intense novel. There's so many twists and turns. I highly recommend if you want something new to listen to. As a new member, you will get one credit every month, good for any title in their premium selection. That means the latest bestseller, the buzziest new release, the hottest celebrity memoir, or that bucket list title that you've been meaning to pick up. Those titles are yours to keep forever in your Audible library. For new members, you can always try Audible for free for 30 days. So start your new listening binge now. Head over to audible.com/loved or text loved to 500-500. That's audible.com/LOVED or text LOVED to 500-500 and get your 30-day trial for free. It took me a really long time to finally find a skincare product that was not only just good for my skin, but also good for the planet. Osea has been making products to do just that for over 25 years. When it comes to clean beauty, Osea is a pioneer. They have award-winning cleansers, serums, face moisturizers, and they're known for creating amazing body products like their famous Undaria Algae Body Oil, which is perfect because we often forget to take care of our bodies the way we take care of our faces. I grew up having extremely dry skin, especially growing up in LA, being that it's a desert and all, so I always struggled to find something that really made me feel moisturized throughout the day. The Undaria Algae Body Oil feels luxurious, rich, not greasy or sticky, and absorbs beautifully into the skin. I know some of you may be thinking body oil. If you've been using body lotion for years, you might be a little wary of the body oils, but let me tell you, I'm here to convert. The Undaria Algae Body Oil soaks in easily, it isn't greasy, and it has this sexy citrus smell that instantly makes me feel like I'm at the spa. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, climate neutral, created with sustainably sourced seaweed and made in California, just like me. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Experience your new favorite clean skincare line with a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off of your first order with the promo code LOVED at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. And if you're a skincare fanatic like me, you're gonna want it all. Go to oseamalibu.com and use promo code LOVED.
And now back to our show.
So we wanted to talk about active listening. This is a topic that I'm very passionate about because I really believe that if we listened to each other, that we would garner more connection, that we would be more inclined to engage with other people, that we would feel more confident, more grounded, more able to express ourselves fully, just with the simple act of having somebody listen, actively listen to what we're saying.
Mm.
So what's been your experience? You can tell the listeners what you've learned about active listening?
First of all, it's a practice. So something that we did in our teacher trainings that I always loved, and I also did this in school because I studied communication. So it was interpersonal communication. We got to do a lot of these fun exercises, active listening and stuff, body language stuff. So it's helpful. You know, you think you might be listening to someone, like someone's telling you a story or telling you their opinion about something. And there's all these thoughts going on in your head, like, how am I going to respond? Oh, I don't agree with that. Oh, that's a judgment I have about that. Oh, I don't understand that, right? That's not, in my opinion, active listening, because you're having your own dialogue in your head while someone else is talking and you're not fully presently listening to them. So when I think about active listening, I think back to the exercises we've done in teacher training, which was, Rosie, you're telling me a story. I'm sitting in front of you, witnessing you telling me this story without judgment, right? I'm just looking at you. You're not asking me to do anything. You're not asking me to fix anything. You're not asking me to solution, right? And I'm listening to you and just loving you. I'm looking at you and just loving you. And I'm letting you express yourself freely. So, and when you're done with that, maybe you say, maybe you elicit a response, right? Yes. Like maybe you say, what do you think about that? Or am I crazy? Right. Sometimes that's my response. Am I blowing this out of proportion? But maybe not. Maybe you just wanted to unload. So it's really an act of witnessing and letting someone else do the speaking and holding space for them while they're speaking.
Yes. So beautifully put. And it's always so nice whenever we would do these practices in teacher training or whenever we would do a retreat to see the people that have done this before, that have practiced active listening. It's very apparent because you're able to really connect. And the concept behind active listening is to be able to establish not only a connection, but also to establish a rapport, to establish trust. And the way that I learned it, that there are like seven different ways or seven different active listening skills that you can begin to practice so that you can become a good listener. And there are many different ways of active listening. The way that I learned it was to be attentive, to ask open-ended questions, to ask like a probing question, a very specific question, to request clarification. That's four. Number five is to paraphrase. Number six is to be attuned to feelings, be able to really gauge that, understand, see body language, just like we were saying. And the last one, number seven, is to summarize. So be attentive, ask open-ended question, ask questions, ask probing questions, request clarification, paraphrase, pay attention or be attuned to somebody's feelings, and then summarize it. So the quick way that we would do it in trainings is I would just ask people to face each other. One person would speak and the other one would not interrupt, right? Because sometimes we have a conversation and we're so quick to say, oh my God, oh, me too, or oh, because we want to validate our person, right? We're not trying to be malicious. We're not trying to not let them share, but sometimes we get excited and we want to reassure them. We want to touch them. We want to say, oh, me too, or oh, that happened to me. We want to encourage. And sometimes when that happens, it stops the flow of the emotion or the feeling or whatever is wanting to be expressed. It's like putting a barrier in front of a wave that's wanting to have its full revolution. So we sit across from each other and, you know, we in teacher training, we would time it. We would set a little timer and we would say, okay, 3 minutes, go. And then the person would share. And then the other person would say nothing and just listen. And then when the timer was up, the other person would then paraphrase what they said.
I hear that you're very frustrated about being in this training or your meditation practice. You're having a hard time meditating every morning. Maybe, you know, just this thing where you're reflecting back and then you switch. And then at the end of that, there is now a level of trust. And I don't know if you would notice this right away, Tessa, but you're also a teacher trainer. So this is something that I'm sure you'll be doing whenever you do your trainings, and you do now, you've done at retreats. But to be able to establish that sense of trust with somebody is so important for us to be able to then build a community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because now you're feeling seen, heard, and understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a great way to bond. You know, I mean, when you start out in the context of a teacher training, a lot of times you're starting out in this vulnerable place with a lot of strangers, maybe, you know, one or two people. But you think about this idea of community and connecting with strangers, it's a great way to create a safe space, to allow yourself to be vulnerable and to, yes, learn to trust and also to build a relationship that lasts a lifetime. I mean, these people have been that I've done trainings with are now in my life forever. Since I've met them, we say happy birthday. We meet up on the weekends. We know each other's families. It's a great way to build that community around you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's interesting because on a personal note, I never practiced active listening when I was a child. I never saw a good model for it because everybody talks over each other. We can be in a room full of people and nobody, if you pay attention, nobody's actually having a conversation. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you feel like nobody's listening to each other and you're just observing, or you see arguments ensue because somebody is not listening to the other person, and really all it takes is for somebody to step back and just listen? And a lot of the times what I've noticed, especially with couples or, you know, whenever I've done couples coaching, all of these situations, the common theme has always been most of the time, I would say 80% of the time, the two parties want the same result.
Yeah.
And you would think two people want the same result. Why is this so difficult? So then you dig in and you start to ask and inquire, what is the hang up? What is holding you back from fully loving this person? Mm-hmm. And then you start to find out the emotions or the feelings, the resentments, the things that aren't happening, the way that everybody's not feeling seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the minute that you can realize or observe or pose the question that perhaps all it takes to be able to connect with somebody on a deeper level is to just step back and listen to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Listen, not just with hearing is different than listening.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear we hear everything. Of course, you can hear what somebody's saying. Somebody's talking at you and you're already in your mind, already know what you're going to, respond with because their argument isn't as good as yours and you're just hearing what they're saying, but you're not actually listening.
Mm-hmm.
Listening requires you to go beneath the words, observe on a heart level, on an intuitive level, to try and see what's underneath the words. What is the feeling underneath? Is this person afraid?
Mm-hmm.
Do they feel unseen? Do they feel less than? Do they feel embarrassed? Do they feel shame? Do they feel, what is the feeling? And then try to connect with them from that place. Kind of like what we talked about last week about how Tori would respond, I see that you're very upset. Mm-hmm. Or we're both very, the best way is, we're both very upset right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Because then it's like, well, I can see you're upset. Yeah. It would sometimes mean like, I'm not upset, you're upset. We're both very upset right now. And we're both hungry.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Right?
That'll do it.
So maybe why don't we eat some food?
And we'll continue the conversation once we've had some food, or we'll continue the conversation in an hour so we can relax and just breathe and cool down. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the techniques that I like to use, or some of the ways that I like to see things. Mm-hmm. What about you?
The one other exercise that I always loved, which is almost, it's almost like terrifying, but I love to practice it. I tried this with my nephew, who, by the way, lives with us. Speaking of having children, we've kind of adopted him unofficially.
You acquired him you acquired him the same time that we acquired Reg when my little sister was living with us. Okay, continue.
So I was going through a training, and part of the exercise was to just make eye contact without saying anything. So another way to, I don't know what that would be called, actively be in the presence of another, is to just eye gaze. And so it's hard to do even for a short period of time. So it was like a series of steps. So the first step was you're just eye gazing, you can smile. And while you're eye gazing, you're maintaining this eye contact, you're going to give this person one compliment after the time is up. So maybe we did it for 30 seconds. And so we would look at each other's eyes. Christopher and I were doing this, and we'd start cracking up, right? Because it gets a little uncomfortable. And then we'd try to be serious. And then the time is up, and we'd give each other a compliment. And then we'd try it again for a little bit longer, which is almost even more terrifying and challenging. And then what happens after maybe like the third time is you kind of transcend that silliness, and it gets more serious, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you start to see deeper, right? You see a deeper level of emotion in this person. And you develop this like thread that goes from my heart to Christopher's heart in this case. And it's such a heartening experience. If you can get yourself to do this maybe like once a day with your partner, your child, you know, I think that's what we're lacking, is that sense of connection to one another. So even if you're just passing a stranger on the street and you're smiling at them and try to make brief eye contact, that's just a practice in and of itself.
Yeah,
that I think is so valuable.
So we have a guest coming up in a couple of weeks, and he wrote this incredible book called The Power of Strangers and connecting in this suspicious world. I'm totally butchering the subtitle, but it's so good. I mean, he talks about the power of being able to just have human to human connection, because we don't anymore. We are so distracted by our phones and our devices that we don't ever make small talk or have conversations with other people. It's terrifying. I mean, literally terrifying for some people. I mean, for me, it's totally easy and fine, and I can talk to anybody most of the time. Mm-hmm. If I feel like, God, now I'm totally being hypocritical, because I'm like, I have to be in the mood to talk to somebody, you know? So I had this rule whenever I would travel back in the day, feels like centuries since I traveled, but I used to travel a lot, mm-hmm. which meant I was in Ubers and Lyfts a lot. And my rule was I cannot be on my phone whenever I get picked up. I have to have a conversation. I have to engage. And it was I had some of the most life-changing conversations with people that picked me up and would drive me. Not all of them were always great. And I did have a random weirdo or two. But the one that sticks out in my mind was I went to Salt Lake City to go do some content. I did some work with bodybuilding.com. So I'm like, it's like a bodybuilding thing. And they flew me out to record some content for them. And it was kind of like a quick turnaround. I flew in that morning and then I flew back because I had a teacher training weekend. I can't remember exactly what I had to do, but I was assisting a teacher training. And I was driving back and this lovely gentleman, elderly gentleman, picked me up and... You know, I get in the car and I'm like, how are you doing today? And we start having this conversation and he's just like, wow, it's really nice to have nice people that want to just have a conversation. Because the ride to the airport, I think, was like 45 minutes or something like this. Mm-hmm. So we're talking and I'm telling him about what I do. Then I told him a little bit about my backstory. And then he's kind of telling me a little bit about his. And he was like a fourth generation. They had an agricultural farm and then he went into tech and then he decided he didn't want to do that anymore and ended up moving back to Salt Lake to be with his family as he got older. So he retired after being in tech and then he decided that he wanted to be with his closer to his family mm-hmm. and be social. Like he just wanted to be social with people and he just thought driving people around would be a great way for him to be social. And I had said something along the lines of, yeah, I think it's so strange when people don't want to have conversations with strangers. And he said, if it wasn't for the power of strangers, I wouldn't be here.
Mm.
And then of course I was intrigued. I was like, what? And he said that a couple of years ago he had had a heart attack in the middle of the street. He said he was walking and all of a sudden had a heart attack and woke up in the hospital and didn't know how he got there. Well, what ended up happening, I'll kind of come back to that, but there was a couple of people that saw what happened. Somebody called the ambulance. They took him, you know, to the hospital and he woke up and he didn't know how he got there or what happened. Well, one of the guys that had seen the whole thing and that called the hospital was still at the hospital, like waiting for hours and hours. And so once he came to, this man that saved his life came in and said, I'm really glad that you're okay. You scared us. And he just looked at him and was like, do we know each other? Like what do you mean we scared you? And he's like, you scared us. We thought we were going to lose you. And then disappeared and he never heard from this person again. So to me, when he's telling me the story of like the stranger basically saved my life, this stranger that rode in the, he also rode in the ambulance. Like, so this man, this angel in human form, you know, basically saved this man who he didn't know his life and then just disappeared. Like, this is what we do. I mean, I can't imagine doing that now, right? Mm. Like, seeing somebody get in a car wreck or you see somebody stranded on the side of the road, do you pull over? Do you help? How often do we do, would we be that person to do that? For me, I would hope yes. Mm-hmm. I've done stuff like that. Tori, 100% yes. I've seen that man go and change somebody's tire in the middle of Santa Monica Boulevard when he used to have his shop in Santa Monica. Like, that's just who he is. He's that person. He comes from that family that it's like they will do whatever for anybody, which I really love.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that I'm definitely not that person. I can't help you change your but I'll call like AAA for you or something.
Yeah.
When it comes to animals, I am the person that will pick the dog up or the bird or the cat. And I will try and find its home. I'll post it on Nextdoor. I'll post it everywhere. I'll call the vets. I'll send everybody pictures. I'll go around posting pictures of it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I am that person when it comes to animals. And I would hope that if I was in a scenario where something happened with somebody else, that I would be that person. Now, as this gentleman's dropping me off at the airport, like, I got emotional. I got emotional, and it just really, it stayed with me. I mean, it really did. Once we got to the airport, he dropped me off and he's like, I don't want you to think this is strange, but is it okay if I give you a hug? And I was like, oh my goodness. So I kind of come around. This man walks with a cane, side note. So I had to go around the car to like help him out, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, bless. So I go and I give him like, he did the one arm hug, you know, like the kind of like over the shoulders, pat, pat, pat type of hug. And I was just like, oh my goodness, this is whoever this man's family is, like, bless them. He is just like the sweetest. I hope that he's still around doing what he loves. But that really, the power of strangers to me has a really resonating just feeling of like the power that we have as people to change somebody else's day. Right.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I so resonate with like the power of strangers showing up in the form of angels. I've had so many angels in my life that I'm like, wait, are you real? Can I touch you? Is this really happening?
That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, in the past, like in the past couple of weeks, I've had these really cool things just keep popping up and it's like, oh, this is serendipitous. Is this a sign?
Is it serendipitous though?
I know, right? Or is it like the universe talking to me? So can I tell you what happened?
Yes, please.
Because I had this conversation on my mind and I was standing in a very long line for my favorite coffee shop, which is so worth it. And I get up to, I'm one person behind getting ready to order. And I'm like, gosh, this guy is taking forever. I'm starting to get a little bit impatient. And he steps off to the side and I'm like thinking to myself, why can't he just like let me order? Why is he still standing there? And the lady at the cash register, she kind of like peeks her head because, you know, we have plexiglass in front of everything to keep everyone safe. She kind of peeks her head around the plexiglass and she's like, what can I get you? This man would like to pay for your coffee. And I was like, oh my God. Okay, first of all, I felt like a total asshole for all of my mental conversation that had been happening prior.
Oh my goodness.
And then I was like, oh, wow, I've heard about this happening. Have you heard about this happening?
I have. I've had
where there's like this
me.
Whole chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening. Like I'm part of the chain. I'm going to pay it forward to the person behind me. And then I kind of like stuck around to listen to what happened. And the person behind me did the same thing. They paid for the drink. So it just, I don't know how long it went on, but it was so cool to be part of this reciprocity of generosity of, I don't know who you are, but I want to pay for your coffee. I just want to do something nice today.
Yes.
Oh, it was so cool. And then, so one more quick story because it's related. I go for runs every week. You know this. Mm-hmm. I'm running
we've
in one of my favorite.
Together.
Yes. We've done them together. Running in one of my favorite parks and I look down, there's this new piece of artwork on the concrete and it's a circle that says, smile at five strangers today. And I was like, what?
Oh, that's cool.
And it was really cool. And I was like, yes, thanks for the reminder. I'm going to do that now. And once I find that once you smile at one person, you don't really stop at five. It's not like one, two, three, four. You just keep going. Like it's reciprocal. Like a yawn is contagious. Mm-hmm. Whoa, I almost knocked my beverage on me. So it was a smile, right?
Yes.
So
let's make smiles contagious. Let's have a smile pandemic.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I love smiling so much when my face starts to hurt. Have you ever done that?
Oh my gosh.
Right? I mean, sometimes when I'm hanging out with my friends or some of my childhood friends come over the house, like I have to prepare myself because the next day I know I'm going to be hurting. My stomach's going to hurt because I'm laughing so hard.
Yeah.
My face hurts from smiling. They're just so dumb.
It's so good for the soul. Yeah.
I'm just keeping it real, you guys. Don't forget.
I love that.
Wow. Okay. That means I'm just trying to look at the time. I think we're good. This was very helpful for me. I hope that it was fruitful for all of you. I love doing Wisdom Wednesday. I hope we can continue to do it. So just as a reminder, thank you, those of you who have emailed us or posted on Instagram that you're listening to this. Don't forget that we really appreciate your support. We do this for free. This is free content for all of you. We have incredible sponsors and we would like to keep our sponsors. So that being said, please check out any of the many sponsors that we have. Going to the links that we provide in the info button really helps us. And when you share it with a friend, not only does it help us spread the word, but it might also bring some insight to somebody out there that needs to hear what is said here today. So That being said, I'm looking forward to being back on Friday. We hope you guys have a great week and we look forward to hearing from you.
Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am so excited to continue to do this. Please share this with your friends. Email us, message us on Instagram at Rosie Acosta or on Twitter at Rosie Acosta. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review. We love doing this, so please help us continue to keep this podcast going. Thanks for listening.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.